So before I begin the reading tonight, I would like to give some encouragement to those who are present here with us, but for some reason or another cannot grasp the special significance of these past times. To them it may seem as if everybody is incredibly unhappy. And knowing how unhappiness feels to themselves, they might even think that Krishna is unkind. I'm talking now about people such as myself who do not know, who do not actually understand Krishna's special mercy that he bestows upon those who really love him. To those who do not understand Krishna's love, they may even feel that Krishna is unreliable, or that he might frighten us, or we might feel some sort of insecurity. But hearing about Krishna's pastimes with the proper understanding will help us to overcome such misunderstandings, and a special quality of faith will sprout in our hearts. Separation from Krishna is known as viraha ras. And for our understanding, sometimes viraha ras is compared to ice. Although the coldness of ice is the opposite to the heat of fire, when the ice is placed on your body, it can feel like a burning coal. So in this analogy, the burning sensation from the ice is illusory, and the numbing coldness of the ice is real. So similarly, the pain of viraha bhav is a false appearance, and it disguises the reality of indescribable joy. Srimati Radharani has said that when I meet with Krishna in person, there is only one Krishna. But when Krishna is not present before my eyes, then I see millions and millions of Krishnas. So this is the extraordinary nature of these pastimes. And definitely myself and yourselves are not necessarily qualified to enter into this level of kata. But somehow or another, sitting here by the side of Giriraj, you can see the wall has already fallen down. Sitting here by the side of Giriraj is a very special place to be. And by Giriraj's mercy alone, we can hear these pastimes. So we heard last night how Krishna left Vrindavan. Akrura took him by a special route so no one would see him. And the cowherd men, Nanda and the other men and the boys, set off in their carts. And when they went a certain distance, they were quite worried because they did not see Krishna. They waited at the outskirts of Mathura in anxiety for Krishna to arrive. And then Akrura came with his chariot, and Krishna got down from the chariot and he joined Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men. So Krishna entered Mathura, where Kamsa was ruling. And Nanda Baba and the other men set up their carts in a circle like a camp on the southern side of the city. Krishna was very eager to see the sights of Mathura. And after he entered the magnificent city gates that were made of gold, with many, many windows above and lattice work and beautiful canopies and so forth. When Krishna saw the magnificent gateway to Mathura, he and his cowherd boyfriends entered. As soon as Krishna saw an opportunity, he quickly made arrangements to change from his simple cowherd dress into newly sewn cloth meant for the king. And then along with his friends, he visited a friend of his, a florist known as Sudama. And from him, Krishna and Balaram received two magnificent garlands. The following day, Krishna effortlessly broke the massive sacrificial bow, easily killed the elephant Kuvalayapida, and then together with Baladev, he fought with the huge wrestlers and quickly sent them to their death. Then he dealt with Kamsa. He jumped up on the royal dais and he pushed Kamsa to the ground and he jumped down on top of him, assuming the weight of the universe. And Kamsa met his death. Then Krishna dragged him by the hair, because he had dragged Devaki by the hair. So he pulled him by his hair to show everybody that he was dead. Then Kamsa's brothers were killed by Balaram, and all their widows cried inconsolably. They were violently weeping and beating their hearts in grief and saying that how could a nephew do such a sinful act as to kill his uncle? Then Ugrasena was released from jail and Krishna insisted that he should again become the king. Vasudev and Devaki met Balaram for the first time and Krishna for the second time. And then the people of Mathura became very, very excited and very busy due to the return of so many exiled members of the various dynasties who were living there. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj was waiting many, many days, waiting for Krishna, waiting on the outskirts of Mathura to see what would happen next. And in Vraj, the residents were beginning to feel very concerned. Nanda had sent messages to them. He had told them that Kamsa had been killed. He had told them what had taken place in Mathura. And Upananda would relay these messages to all of the villagers, all the cowherdsmen of Vrindavan. But because Krishna had not yet decided the proper time to return to Vraj, and because even though Kamsa was dead, Krishna now seemed to need to prevent others from proudly thinking that they were independent, Upananda and the other people in Braj became both joyful and worried. The dagger of fear that Krishna's return to Braj would be delayed was now plunged into their hearts. And in this condition, they sent the following letter to Nanda Baba in Mathura. They said, from the moment of Krishna's departure, his mother has not eaten anything. The gopas and the gopis are very distressed. What more shall I say? The people and the cows in Raj, and even the animals in the forest, are all devastated. Hearing this letter, Krishna became withered with grief. He thought of returning immediately, but then he remembered Narada's predictions. Then he became resigned to staying. But now, hearing Upananda's letter, he finally decided, I will return to Vraj. I will return to Vraj. In a secluded place, he said to Balaram, O noble brother, please help me. I must return to Vraj. With tears in his eyes, Balaram said, Oh, my brother, without you, my every effort will end in defeat. I cannot do anything without you. And Krishna said, What should we do? Balaram said, We must convince the Yadavas to follow King Ugrasena, and then we should return immediately to Gokul. Krishna and Balaram then went to the assembly of King Ugrasena. Krishna came in and he humbly said, My dear Ugrasena, I have a request. Everyone replied, You may command us in any way you like. Then Krishna said, You have all now returned here to your homes. King Ugrasena sits on his glistening throne. As before, he will bring a festival of happiness to you all. And as I have previously said, ruling a kingdom does not appeal to me. I think the realm of Vrindavan is enough to make me happy. All the glorious members of the assembly looked at each other. Then Vikadru, one of the Yadava elders, he replied, Previously, there was only one Kamsa. He was struggling to destroy us. But now, many Kamsas have come. So many that we cannot even count them. Jarasandha has millions of allies. All of them are armed with powerful weapons. And now they are all arrayed against us. You are our only protector. Please stay amongst us. Or else, you may give us a place to stay where we will be safe from attack. He continued, "You are our kinsmen. You are not the kinsmen of the cowherd King Nanda and his family. Therefore, you should always stay amongst your kinsmen and protect us. At the present time, no one is about to attack the cowherd people of Vraj." After hearing these words, Krishna, accompanied by Balaram, approached Devaki and Vasudev in their palace, and they spoke to them the same request. "O Mother and Father, please hear us." Devaki and Vasudev replied, "Yes, what is it?" Krishna said, "We would like to visit the glorious people of Braj, who are beyond the touch of this material world." Hearing these words, both Vasudev and Devaki became silent. Sri Krishna said, "I yearn to stay amongst the cows in Vraj. Understanding Krishna's mind and knowing that if Krishna did indeed return to Vraj, he would forget the Yadavas and Vasudev." After a long pause, Vasudev replied, "You too are like our own life's breath, which after such a long time we have somehow regained. Will you abandon us now?" In a secluded place, Krishna and Balaram came to a conclusion. "We honestly placed our appeal before our honored parents, and considering our suggestion inauspicious, they rejected it. I think that jumping over the commands of our superiors will bring the result that Jarasandha and his allies will go to Vraj searching for me, and they will make Vraj full of great calamity. Therefore, It is not the right time to fulfill the promise that we made to return to Vraj. After deciding this, Krishna and Balaram went to the cowherd's men's camp, and they approached Nanda and they offered their obeisances. When they were comfortably seated, Balaram related everything that had happened. Then, glancing at his father and his uncles and slightly smiling, Krishna concluded the description by saying, "Alas, believing in the voice that somehow spoke from the sky, the Yadavas think that I am the son of Devaki. And what did King Nanda reply to these words? Nanda smiled. Externally seeming to be unaffected. After acknowledging the words that had been spoken by the demigods, he replied, "King Vasudev is always truthful, and he spoke these words to me. My dear brother," he said, "you were old and very anxious to beget a son, yet you had none. Now, by the grace of the Lord, you are fortunate to have a wonderful son. I think this incident is very auspicious for you. Vasudev and I are non-different. His wife and your mother are not different. Therefore, if the Yadavas say that you are their son, they are right. Fear of Kamsa fills Mathura, and fear of separation from you will fill Vraj. O my son, these two fears now fill me with sorrow. So let it be. You should help the Yadavas. After hearing the opinions of the all-knowing sages and understanding that it was your duty, I did not stop you from coming here to Mathura. For a moment, Nanda was stunned. And then, weeping and weeping, he held Krishna to his chest. Then he gazed at Krishna's face. Filled with love for his father, Krishna spoke in a choked voice filled with emotion. Oh, Father, these demons will soon be killed. Have no doubt. It is already ordained by destiny. In a secluded place in the forest, Narada Muni assured me of this. And Balaram spoke. "What can I say?" he said. "You too have been our real father and mother from our birth and our childhood. You raised us with so much love. Your affection towards us was more than anyone could imagine offering even to their own child." Maharaj Nanda replied, "O Krishna, graceful like a little calf, we will stay here with you." Krishna said, "Father, you must find a nice private house so that mother will not be unhappy." Nanda said, "The two of us will stay here with you." Krishna said, "Then all of Gokul will be destroyed." Nanda said, "Then I will bring the people of Gokul to stay here as well." Krishna said, "At present there are many cows in Gokul. Their number greatly increases every single day. How can their livelihood be provided in a big city? It is our duty to serve them. If you say that the cows love me and they will be unhappy without me, then I say that the cows are like my very life and they should be carefully maintained and protected." The Yadavas did not speak untruth when they said that hundreds and thousands of ferocious soldiers led by Jarasandha will indeed lay siege to Mathura. "Only if I do not reside in Vraj and stay away from Vraj will Vraj be rescued from a host of calamities. If their spies report of our relationship, then Jarasandha and his allies will not be afraid to attack, and they will not send one or two soldiers. They will not send a few hidden demons. Rather, they will send many divisions of soldiers to attack Vraj. Father, therefore, we must carefully conceal even the slightest fragrance of our relationship. It would be very difficult for me to conceal and protect the numberless people and cows of Vraj who wander here and there in the pasture land and the forest. Therefore, we should carefully pretend that we have no relationship. And when all the enemies are destroyed, I will return to that beautiful land of Vraj. And once I return, I will never depart. I will always stay amongst you who love me so sincerely. No obstacle will ever keep us apart. We know that you are feeling separation, returning to Vraj, and leaving us here in his heart. King Nanda thought, what Krishna has said is proper and logical. And then, striking his head with his hands, he said, but what about your mother? What will I tell your mother? Krishna said, I will write a letter to her and send it through my friends. Then Krishna wrote a letter to his mother. He said, because I fear that many wicked men will bring calamities to Vraj, I cannot openly come now. However, because of the great power that I have obtained by serving the lotus feet of my father Nanda, I secretly come to Vraj every day. Oh mother, this you see with your own eyes, and I see it with my own eyes. And no third pair of eyes can see this. On the first day you gave me sweet rice, and on the next day chapatis and thick yogurt. And on the next day you gave me milk cakes. In this way, day after day, you are giving me a great variety of delicious foods, and I personally come there and eat it. Oh, my dear mother, what you saw was not a dream. Please try to understand. I come there in truth. From the moment I heard that you were no longer eating, I have not eaten anything either. Some people may say that they see me eating, but I am not eating. If I were, then why is it that my life is are gradually becoming withered and dried? As soon as I am able to defeat this great host of enemies, I will return to my dear mother again. Sridham said, it is true. Mother Yasoda has told me that Krishna comes and he eats whatever she cooks. Then with tears in his eyes, Nanda said, oh Krishna, what will become of your friends who are overcome with love for you? Krishna said, as my glorious mother sees me directly, so do my cowherd friends. However, unlike my mother, who is overwhelmed with maternal affection and sometimes thinks she does not see me, my cowherd friends do not doubt that they see me. Then Krishna asked Madhu Mangal to return to Vrindavan and to serve Purnamasi as his representative there. At this point, Krishna sent a brahmana to indicate to the Yadavas that Nanda Maharaj was ready to depart. And Vasudeva and the others happily came to that place. They offered so many gifts and delightful garments and other valuables. And after describing the virtues of the people of Braj, they returned to their palaces in Mathura. Now, filled with worry, Nanda Maharaj left. Balaram followed him for a short distance. Actually, he followed him for a considerable distance, because Balaram was thinking that this whole difficulty has been caused by me. Eventually, Nanda Maharaj turned to Balaram and said, "My dear little calf-like Balaram, please return to Mathura. Return to the side of your brother. His mind may become unsteady, so you should be there to help him." So Balaram returned to Mathura, returned to Krishna's side. Krishna and Balaram embraced each other neck to neck and cried and cried and cried.